Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so good to be here tonight. And we're going to get started in just a moment, but first things first, we got to pray. So we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here once again so that we may come together and worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here tonight. I pray, O God, that thou wilt inspire us, O God, as we sing unto thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to bring honor and glory to thy mighty and holy name, Lord. For we know that thou art due of all praise, worship, and honor that we can give unto thee. And I pray, Lord, that thou would preside over this entire service. Let everything we do here tonight be done according to thy perfect will. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 83 in the chorus book tonight from the Rising of the Sun. Number 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Of the sun
Well, why don't we go now to number 115 and sing "I Will Enter His Gates," number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. To God. Why don't we go now to number 28 and sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me, number 28. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. God, yes, he lifted us and he set us free. Praise the Lord, and he has saved our souls. Let's go to number 42 and sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. So rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy grace. Salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Well, I'm just feeling thankful tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 62 and sing, "Thank you, Lord." Number 62. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. That you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you. That you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me. Blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Jesus, praise the Lord. Well, you know, we're on this page anyway. Why not sing number 66? Jesus, I'll never forget. Number 66. Jesus, I'll forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Praise God. Father in heaven, I thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, for thy many abundant blessings, for thy love, for thy care towards us. We know, O God, that we couldn't be here tonight without thy help, without thy guidance, without thy direction. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us wisdom. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy glory and for the cause of thy mighty name. I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn it over to Shirley. And we're going to go to number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Praise the Lord. And you know, you can never thank Him enough. You can never praise Him enough. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart this night. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, dear ones, there tonight, and thankful for online and the ministry that the Lord has blessed us with here. We certainly know that we need the Lord. You know, there's no doubt about that in these times that we live in. Oh, my. But we know the living God, and He knows how to help us in these moments of time. Oh my, there's so much beyond what we've grasped. I really feel in the Lord Jesus. No, He just is beginning to teach us. I feel the many things that are in His Word. I know I just was just rereading the book of Mark last night and just thinking about all the miracles that came forth from Jesus' ministry. And you know, I know He's the same God. The same Savior, and what He did back then, He could do for us tonight. And oh, to get to that place where we can just reach out
and claim his promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. By faith. Amen. We're going to pray here tonight as we begin and ask the Lord to be here. Oh, for sure we need him. That I know. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, God, that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in you, Lord. Oh, God, you know how to deliver us. You know how to set us free. God, you know how to bring us to that place, Lord, where, oh, God, we claim thy promises. And, oh, God, we can walk on water because, oh, Lord, our faith, our hope is in thee, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, oh, God, that you touch us here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you would anoint this word. Oh, God, that you'd use it, oh, Lord, for your name's sake, for your glory. Oh, God, only you know how many more moments we have left in this world. I pray, oh, God, that you'd get us to that place that we could all reach out to you in faith. Oh, God, that we can see those signs following them that believe, oh, Lord. But, oh, God, that we would, oh, God, be kept from error, that we'd be kept from deception, Lord. Oh, God. It would be kept from the, oh God, the cunning of the enemy, Lord Jesus, in every way, Lord. Oh God, that you'd help us, oh Lord, to have our eyes glued on thy word, Lord God. Oh Lord, that pure word of God, oh Lord, that knows how to direct us. Now God, we ask, oh Lord, that you teach us here tonight and that you'd use this. Oh God, oh Lord, that, oh God, our ears and understanding, oh Lord, would be opened, oh Lord Jesus, that our eyes would see and perceive, oh Lord, oh God, the things that you have for us, Lord. Oh, those glimpses that we need, oh Lord, oh God, that increase of faith that we need from thee. I pray that you'd help us here tonight, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thankful that Sam and Leah made it back safely, and it's really good to see them on Sunday. And, you know, it's really, you know, we go out there and, you know you got to put your faith in the Lord. No matter where our endeavor is or where our journeying is, you know, sometimes even Beaver Dam is treacherous enough, I think, as we all know. Oh, but praise the Lord. He does know how to help us. That is for sure. And oh my, we fully don't see and understand, I'm sure, his goodness and the mercy that he's had toward us. Maybe over yonder there, he'll, you know, fully reveal all those wonderful things that he's done for us that we maybe weren't even, you know, realizing at all. But he's been good to us. And, you know, the times when we were on a slippery path, perhaps, and, you know, I'm not speaking of just physically, but spiritually, times when, you know, oh boy, the battles of this world were overwhelming, and who knows the thought pattern that, you know, was going through our heart and our mind was, you know, something that was misdirecting us. We could have so easily have been one of the victims, you know. We could have so easily have fallen and become a snare in this old world. Oh my, where, you know, there is an adversary who is really seeking whom he may devour. But praise the Lord, we know one that is greater by far. Oh my, the one that is the creator, the one that made us, the one that has given us hope. And we put our trust, our hope, our faith in him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Acts, the first chapter here. Just to begin this tonight, we're going to call this same Jesus. This same Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. He's been so good. Amen. Okay. I guess we might as well start with the first verse here as we open up here tonight. The book of Acts, written by Luke, you know. And he, of course, he was with Paul in a lot of his journeys, and he had been with the Lord. And he obviously had much to write about and had a wonderful understanding that God had given him. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Of course, we know that these are his last words before he ascended up into heaven. And, you know, I would think that, you know, before we leave this world, we'd want to say the things that are most important, things that you would want somebody to remember above all else. And, you know, I think it's remarkable here what he's talking about. There was some specific instructions here that he was giving them, those that had followed him, those that were with him, those had seen his works and wonders, and knew the work that he had been set forth to do and declared it. But he told them here that they needed to wait for the promise of the Father, which he, of course, had instructed them of, and which they had heard, which had even been prophesied in the Old Testament. And, of course, he brings about the fact that John had truly baptized with water. But there was a baptism that even John spoke of, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was saying that ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now it was forthcoming. Now it was right there. And again, they didn't understand. They still didn't understand fully that Jesus had came to bring about a spiritual kingdom. They're still half thinking that, you know, there was going to be a restoration of the physical Israel. But Jesus said, it's not of you to know the times and the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but he's talking about receiving power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, power that would make you a witness, that would make them alive, that would make them a light in this dark world. And of course, it started in Jerusalem, didn't it? And it was spread to all Judea and into Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that was his declaration. And all at once, after he had spoken those things, it tells us in verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And you know, I'm sure they didn't want to see him go, and they didn't fully understand all of this. But while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. So there was the promise given that this same Jesus that had walked with them, that had called them as individuals, had done all those miracles in front of their very eyes, and all the instruction that he'd given them, words of eternal life, that same Jesus would again come in like manner as they had saw him go into heaven, that he would so come back the same way. Praise the Lord. Of course, we are still as his children waiting for that promise that he would return. But very shortly following his ascension into heaven, we know that the Holy Ghost fell. That power from on high, that gift of the Holy Ghost that he had promised them, that power that we all need, that enablement that we need to walk on this earth, oh, to have power, to be a light, power to believe, a power to overcome, that power to strengthen us. Yes, praise the Lord, that did come upon the followers of Jesus there, didn't it? The second chapter of Acts tells us there in the upper room. Oh, yes, because they did exactly what he asked them to do. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And praise the Lord worked in a mighty way. So glad, oh, that the promises of God are real and that they can be realized. But Jesus did not leave them comfortless, but he came unto them, didn't he? And likewise, that promise that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven, is yet for us to be realized. It is all is yet to be to happen. But yet we know that the promises of God are yea and amen. And what he has said will certainly come to pass. This same Jesus will so come in like manner. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And just look at these scriptures. I know they're familiar to us, but I feel like we're in a period of time where we need continual reminders. At least I know I do. And there's a spirit out there that is very strong in this world. It's a spirit of deception. And, we're told that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. But for the elect's sake, those days would be shortened, Jesus told us, even in this chapter. But I think we need to be reminded again of these things that Jesus earnestly taught here in this 24th chapter. So let's look at it here. Tells us in verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? As we know, there's three specific things being asked here. He'd already told them that there, that temple that they had showed him, that he was very familiar with, I'm sure, anyway, he had already told them that there wasn't going to be one stone left upon another, that it was all going to be dismantled and thrown down. And of course, at that moment, they couldn't understand it. So they're asking. They're asking. And they're asking also beyond that, the sign of his coming, his return, and of the end of the world. Really good questions, I'm sure, you know. And I notice as Jesus began to answer them in verse 4, the first thing he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Oh, even then, that spirit of deception was very good. It was very heavy. It was strong. It was completely, entirely possible that they could be deceived. And then he explains in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he goes on to say, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Of course, we know that we're seeing these things right now. We've seen world wars where nations rose against nations. And we know through the ages, kingdoms have risen against kingdoms again and again. And we know even at this very time that we are reading and studying here that there's famines in the world. There's pestilences. There's earthquakes all in diverse places, all around the world. There's all these happenings, and maybe we haven't seen them all here in great proportions, but I'll tell you what, if we lived in other places, if we lived in Africa, oh my, we would have different insights, wouldn't we? Because there are people that are in great danger and great perils at this moment, in great famine and great distress. And we know that earthquakes have cause great devastation in so many places and continually are rocking this world and shaking it up. Oh yes, there's warnings all over the place, you know, that one day this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and you know, we don't always hear of it because it's become so familiar at these moments, but certainly this earth is shaking like never before. Jesus said, these are all the beginning of sorrows. And then he talked and said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And certainly that has been the case through the ages. There's been the rise of false prophets. And I have a feeling at this moment there are more false prophets than ever before. I have a feeling that right now the spirit of deception is greater than ever before. It tells us in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think we've seen that greatly. I think that has, had quite a disturbing effect on the people of this country. And I think in many places in the world that iniquity that's abounding in this world, that's run amok, that's overwhelmed, it's caused the love of many to wax cold. But then we're told in verse 13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, we know that we are in an endurance race. You know, some people start out with great determination and vigor and zeal. But the truth is, the need is to continue. You can't just run the race for a moment and then give up and just call it quits. No, that pace needs to be continued. We need to continue to walk with the Lord moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. No matter what happens, we have to endure. We have to keep the promises of God in our heart. We need faith. We need that reaching out. We need the renewing of the Holy Ghost day by day in our hearts. Because here we're warned that spirit iniquity, oh yes, that evil spirit that's run amok in this world, it has caused the love of many to wax cold. And I think we've seen it already in many ways. Often people's hearts are very far from God. They might profess that they know God, but inwardly there's doubts, there's fears, there's other things that are predominant in their hearts that keep them from really walking with the Lord, that distract them from the things that are most important. As we know, as we're told in Jeremiah 17, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? We also know that the Lord said that He searches the hearts and He tries the reins. Oh yes, even to give according to each one's doings and according to the fruit of their ways. The Lord is looking at the heart, and He's trying, that heart to see if it's genuine, if it means what it says, if the words that are spoken are words that are in earnest, that they're truly meant. Because I'll tell you what, we haven't fully made up our mind to follow the Lord. We're going to be shaken. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. Because it has to be something very deep within. As we walk this earth, we're tried, we're tested. Oh yes, many are the afflictions of God's people. But the Lord does know how to deliver us from them all, which is a wonderful thing. We can put our hope and our faith in that. We can look at those examples that are given in God's Word and know that there are people that it did endure until the end. That's what it's going to take. And then it tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And we know that even Paul reached much of the world in his time. Just one man reaching out, talking to whosoever he could, reaching out and establishing churches, not hesitating to declare it. Oh yes, what a work he did for the Lord. I believe at this point there's a need for that gospel to go forth. I believe there's this final message that needs to go forth before it all ends, and I believe it is going forth one way or the other. The Lord knows how to declare it. The Lord knows how to bring it forth. He's going to use whomsoever He can. I just thought it was so remarkable. Thanksgiving Day last week. We all know that it's a day to be thankful, particularly, we've set it aside for such, and not that we shouldn't be thankful every day, that we should acknowledge God every day and, always be thanking Him for His goodness and mercy. But particularly, we've set that day aside. And I just thought it was quite amazing because we didn't have our Thanksgiving celebration until later that day. And so I was just washing the floor and doing things like that, washing clothes and all that. And thing that was amazing was the bird professor there. He just was remarkable that day. It just seemed like, he was quoting scriptures and he was praising the Lord and, he was praying and, he was just going on and on and on. And I couldn't help but think how Jesus sat there when he was entering Jerusalem there for what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when they were worshiping Him, when they were saying Hosanna, when they were waving the palm branches. And of course they were being noisy. Oh, they were rejoicing. They were finally giving Him the praise and the worship that was so due Him. And there were some that didn't like it. Oh, there were some that were complaining. Some that were saying, "Oh, Master, tell those disciples to be quiet." But Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, immediately the stone should cry out. Oh, there is a need to worship our God. There is a need to praise Him. And if we won't do it, He'd even bring forth the stones to worship Him. And I couldn't help but think, oh, there was the Lord using that bird, you know, just a bird to praise Him and to worship Him, just voluntarily, just, you know, rejoicing in the Lord. And I don't know that why He did it exactly, but I just believe the Lord was just building that within Him. And out He came. He was praising and worshiping the Lord, just a bird. Oh, praise the Lord. But I believe that gospel, that everlasting gospel, is to be proclaimed unto all the world. And again, I've gone here so many times to Revelation, the 14th chapter, but it talks about that angel that John saw flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And it says, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, and saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, that voice that comes forth. Oh, I don't know, the Lord has a way of pressing it upon people. He has a way of making it known that need to fear God and give Him glory. Oh, that hour of His judgment is coming forth, isn't it? Oh, what a need there is to worship Him, that need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. There is no substitute for real worship and praise that comes from the heart of God's people who know Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, that voice, that witness. And we are witnesses of the gospel. We are witnesses of what He has done, what He has proclaimed. If He's worked in our heart, He's given us a witness. He's made us a witness. He's given us a testimony that we could declare. And there in Revelation 14, after that loud voice, that angel proclaiming the everlasting gospel, another angel follows, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, judgment following. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So that need, oh yes, to worship our God, to give Him praise, that gospel that goes forth, that needs to be proclaimed. We are told, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But we are living in that time, period, when I believe that spirit of iniquity abounds, is widespread. It's gotten into the churches. It's gotten into people that name the name of Christ even. And so that the love of many has waxed cold. Oh, that fervent spirit, that great desire to declare the words of the Lord, to be that witness in this world. Oh my, it's become cold in so many cases. Just as in Revelation, the second chapter there, that church of Ephesus, the Lord said that He had somewhat against them. Even though they had done good works and labors and had patience, could bear them which are evil, and has tried them which said they were apostles and were not, and found them liars, and has borne and hath patience, and for My name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Oh, very, very positive things, but there was something that was wrong. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, that first love, that excitement, that, oh, a wonderful zeal that the Lord puts in our hearts when we first come to know Him. Somehow they had left that first love. And they were warned here in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Oh, I tell you what, it's time for the people of God that are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their evil ways. It's time for Zion to travail and bring forth her children. It's time, oh yes, to get to that place where that first love is fervent in our heart. That love for God, that love that is so great that we would die for the cause of Christ if need be. That needs to be within us. We need that fervency of spirit and that great desire, because, like I said, like the scripture declares, it's he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We are in an endurance race. It is no time to be lukewarm. It's no time to give up. And of course, that was, you know, a problem with the church of Laodicea there in the 3rd chapter of Revelation. They were not hot nor cold, but they were lukewarm. God said he was going to spew them out of their mouth. Oh, they thought they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But oh, they didn't see their true condition. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Oh, God help us that we would see our hearts and know our hearts. Oh, yes, because there is one that bears witness. There's one that knows. And oh, of course, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. We're to not lay up for ourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt it, where thieves break in and steal, but rather to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Amen. So praise the Lord. And then, as we continue here in Matthew 24, he continues to talk about, or begins to talk about, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, verse 15. And then he begins to answer, I believe, that first question that they asked, because he was talking about that time when there would not be a stone left upon stone there of the temple. And he's speaking here, it says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Of course, we know that 70 A.D. the Romans came and surrounded Jerusalem. And then, for no apparent reason, they left. And the Christians that were in Jerusalem realized that the prophecy that had been declared by Jesus Christ himself was being fulfilled, and they realized that they needed to get out of there, that they needed to go and flee into the mountains, as Jesus had told them there in verse 16, and to quickly do it, you know, not to look back, and just to take their things and go. And they got out of there. They got out of there. Titus came back with his army. The Christians were gone, thank God. But he completely violated that city and the people that were left in that temple that had been so sacred was completely taken apart. Stone by stone, they plundered it. They took it apart, and this scripture was fulfilled to the very letter. But praise the Lord knew how to preserve and protect his people. And I know he said that he would be with us even until the end of the world. And, you know, we see great things, great sights, great problems in our world. But we also know that our God is with us and that his promises are yea and amen. As he said that he would be with us until the end of the world, so he will be. He's going to know how to take care of us, how to talk to us, and how to prepare us. And then I believe verse 21 here begins to talk about these end times. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I believe we've seen many false Christs and many false prophets. Oh, they've been rising again and again. But here it talks about them rising to such an extent that they do signs and wonders. And it's so convincing that it says here that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect, even the children of God, because it's so convincing, the things that they do and the things that they are declaring. It's, you know, people would wonder, except that they would know the Word of God and have it hidden in their heart, have the Spirit of a living God deep inside. Oh, I know if there's ever a time for us to be spiritual, it's now. If there's ever been a time that we should know the Lord, it's now. I'm turning right now to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And here, Paul, of course, is writing to the church at Corinth. And, you know, he had some things he had to correct there. He had written a very hard epistle there. That first epistle to the church at Corinth was difficult, I'm sure. And he wasn't quite sure just how they were feeling at times. Chapter 11, verse 1. "Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them," or him, it says here. And obviously, he had a concern. There's only one way. There's only one gospel. And, you know, Paul wrote to the Galatians, You know, even if an angel from heaven should bring forth another gospel, let him be accursed. You know, he emphasized that so fully that there was only one way. And you know, oh my, no matter what, the gospel isn't going to change. It isn't going to be moved. Just looking at Galatians here, I'll go back there to 2 Corinthians. But you know, his letter to the church of Galatia was rather stern also. Verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. There's no other way that leads to eternal life. There's no other gospel. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. And then he tells how the Lord revealed it to him. There as this chapter continues. But he's emphasizing here the very great need to not be swayed from that which was preached unto the saints, that common salvation that was declared on the day of Pentecost and has not changed. Declaring that even though an angel from heaven would try to pervert and try to convince that there was another way, let him be accursed. Oh my. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here he's talking, Paul is talking about the possibility that there could be someone that would come and preach another Jesus. And there could be another spirit other than the Holy Ghost that they had received that would come and try to deceive and send them into deception, or another gospel which they had not accepted that they might bear with. Oh, it's so important to know the words of life. So important to have it deep in our heart, that we're rooted and grounded in the truth that the Lord has established. But here, as he continues here in 2 Corinthians, just jumping down a little bit, we look at verse 11, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Quite the warning here, and the declaration here that even Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. You know, I just think it's interesting. I know my dear Sister Shirley there in Oklahoma, I know, has shared some things with me and some materials, and I know what is a book. The name is Deceived by the New Age. It was written by a man named Will Barron, and he'd been a New Ager 12 years. He was deep into the New Age concepts and all kinds of devices. And, you know, he was into channeling, and he heard voices and he saw visions. And one thing that he was convinced of at that period of time was that Jesus had appeared to him. Oh, this tall, handsome fellow dressed in white, and he thought it was Jesus why that lying spirit thought he was Jesus. And this Will Barron was deceived for quite a period of time. The Lord miraculously opened up his understanding. He was able to perceive and realize that it was a false Jesus. It was an angel of light, so-called light, that had appeared to him, an angel of deception that had came to him. And, in the meantime, he was used majorly to convince other people. They were going into Christian churches and falsely proclaiming themselves Christians and trying to work havoc there among so-called Christians, yet believing in things like reincarnation and using candles and incense and all those things, just deceiving whosoever they could. But praise the Lord, the Lord got this man out of there. It's a miracle. He had believing parents who were praying for him. And what a difference that makes. In time he began to see it. In a woman, he went to a church and he confessed to her that he was a New Age Christian. And she just simply asked if she could pray for him. And she began to pray for him and ask that God would show him truth. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't too long after that he realized that Jesus that he had put his faith in, oh, that voice that was speaking to him, oh yes, that Jesus told him to do all kinds of things, to give all this money that he didn't even have, and to do this, to go there, to be a street preacher more so, go here and there and proclaim that New Age gospel. But the Lord miraculously took him out of that, and all at once he could see and understand that he'd fallen into a trap. He was a false apostle. He'd given heed to seducing spirits of devils, and even a transformation of Satan himself as an angel of light. Oh, yes. So Paul is warning there. In the book of Corinthians, those in that church, those believers, that there was that possibility that they could be deceived, that they could fall into that trap. And of course, in the book of Matthew, again, those warnings, there are all kinds of snares. There's all kinds of devices, so many God-fearing people even, in many cases, are deceived by false religions. The Catholic spirit, for example, many of them are praying people who put their trust in a false system. You might even go to Magigori, where many apparitions seem to have appeared to deceive people, even healing them at times, signs and wonders that are discussed here in Matthew 24 by false Christs, by false spirits, antichrists that have come into this world. We know that we are told in 1 John, the 4th chapter, that we are to try the spirits and see whether they be of God. Because there's many false spirits that have come into this world that proclaim that they are of God. But they're deceptive, ungodly, destructive spirits that put people in great peril, great risk. Oh yes, sent by the enemy himself to deceive and distract, to destroy. And back here in Matthew 24, again, we're told, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, I'll tell you what, they are in pulpits. Oh, yes, I've read some crazy things. I've seen some crazy things. I know an individual that I had worked with somewhat in Canada ended up, as far as I know, in a church with a false prophet. Oh, just crazy things going on there, I would say. And I'll tell you what, I know one of the deceivers that Will Barron talked about was Kenneth Copeland. He even attended some of those conventions that he had, and it was right in sync with him. I'll tell you what, they're out there. They're on the television. They're the ones that are the highlights so often. But we are warned. We are warned, and we're told here, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord is making a way for his people. Oh, yes, because we could all fall into that kind of condemnation. We could all fall into that snare, that trap. Oh, Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Oh, yes, I mean, if we don't know the Word of God, we could, you know, we could fall to that same trap that many God-fearing Catholics fall into. You know, those sites, Medjugorje, and those places where, you know, they believe that Mary has appeared to individuals and done wonders. You know, they talk about signs in the heavens, you know, rosaries and things that, you know, maybe turned a different color, or, you know, just things that, you know, seemed really miraculous that happened while they were there. Seeing things in the heavens like crosses and hearts and, you know, all of that. But they're deceptive spirits. Oh, yes. And if we don't know God, if we don't know the Word of God, we could fall in that same trap. So we're told here, verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is the desert, go not forth. You know, they might declare there might be somebody that comes forth out of the desert doing signs and wonders. I mean, things that sound way beyond perhaps what we've even seen with our own eyes at this point. Or maybe somebody coming out of the secret chambers. Oh, yes, who knows what they planned. Oh, yes, to come up with in this world that we're living in. But it says, we're warned here, believe it not. For verse 27 says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, he's coming. He's coming in clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Oh, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, amen. He's coming, and every eye is going to see him. There's going to be no question about it. He's not going to come out of a secret chamber. He's not going to come out of the desert. But he's coming out of the heavens. And it's going to be as lightning that cometh and shineth from the east into the west. Oh, it's going to be so bright and so brilliant that none can miss it. It's going to be so visible that you can't deny what has happened on all. They're going to know it. Oh, they're going to know it. Oh, yes. Oh, we know from Philippians, the second chapter, that Jesus has been given a name that's above every name. And that at that name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Oh, things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth. Every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's how it will be. It's not going to be deniable. It's going to be so obvious that none can deny it. And I don't care who you are, what your background is, if you're a Hindu, if you're a Muslim, if you're agnostic or an atheist, or if you're a Baptist or a Buddhist, no matter what it is, you're going to know that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, has returned. Amen. Let's just go to Isaiah 25 here for a minute. We look at verse 5 here, Isaiah 25. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as a heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines and the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines and the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. All at once, they will understand. They will see. They will know who he is. That veil that's been put on their faces so that they couldn't see and understand is suddenly going to be removed. That covering, the blindness, all at once is going to be removed. And it tells us in verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Oh, there he comes. Oh, yes. Again, every eye shall see him. Oh, yes, those that crucified him all at once, they're going to see and understand the one that they rejected. Oh, yes, the one that they put on the cross, the one that they denied. But to his people, he will swallow up death and victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, oh, are we waiting for our Lord to come? Are we waiting for this same Jesus that ascended into the heavens to again return? Oh, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. God is going to have a people that is coming, a people that he's preserved for himself. Oh, yes. People that know their God and do exploits and walk with him and have faith even in the midst of great trouble and despair. Oh, in the midst of great unbelief, there is going to be a people of God that are waiting for him. Oh, yes, knowing, oh, yes, when he comes forth, that trump of God declares itself. Oh, yes, God is going to gather his elect, isn't he? Oh, yes, he is. As it tells us here in Matthew 24, again, verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Oh, yes, there's going to be so many things as he comes, an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last drop. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, there he comes. And all at once, like I said, that veil is cast off the eyes of the unbelievers, those that failed to know him. All at once they're going to see and understand. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, there he is, gathering his people. Oh, yes. And they turning. Oh, let's see, to Luke, just for a moment here. Rather, let's make it Mark 13. Mark 13. Again, much of the same details are shared here in that 13th chapter of Mark. Tells us in verse 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And then Jesus began to tell a parable, and I want to bring this to our attention here tonight. 28th verse of Mark, the 13th chapter. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. We have all been called, haven't we, into the kingdom of God. We've all been given assignment, each of us his work. And then we're told in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. Oh, that need to be vigilant. Oh, that need to be careful. Oh, yes, he told us in the 24th chapter of Matthew that his coming would be as the days of Noah. They were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying, they were giving in marriage. That day that Noah entered into the ark, it seemed normal to those people in Noah's days. They didn't know. They didn't know that there was going to be something happen, that things were going to change, that the heavens were going to bring forth water, and rain was going to fall upon the earth, and they were going to be drowned if they didn't fear God and get right. They didn't know that. They hadn't taken heed. Oh yes, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I'm sure he had warned them. I'm sure he had declared it, but they hadn't listened. They hadn't given heed. So they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And it says, Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And in Matthew 2, Jesus has that same warning, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Oh, he's coming as a thief in the night. Oh, we know that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Oh, yes, we are told, and if these things shall be, then what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Yes, because we know that he's coming. And if we're seeing this, then we better give heed. We better pay attention. Oh, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and in conduct also and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. We're in. The heavens shall be not fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, yes, God's people are looking. We're looking for Jesus, that same Jesus which went up into heaven, that same one that ascended into heaven shall so come in like manner. But in the meantime, we know that there are many deceptive Jesuses. There's many deceptive spirits. There's many false prophets, antichrists that are in the world, proclaiming themselves even with signs and wonders. But God's people hold on to the word of God, hide it in their heart. Oh, you know, we don't want to be deceived. We've got to know God's word. And of course, therefore, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're told here in 2 Peter, that third chapter, wherefore, beloved, verse 14, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, yes, because our Lord is going to present to himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, a church that is without blame and it's holy. And you know, it tells us in the book of Revelation that the bride hath made herself ready. That's what we're doing down here. We're getting ready for the coming, the return of our Savior. Oh yes, that trumpet is going to sound. And oh yes, the Lord Jesus is going to come forth. We're all going to see him. He's going to come as a thief in the night. You're going to say peace and safety. But then sudden destruction is going to come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And there's not going to be any escape, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Praise the Lord. But he tells us, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not the children of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, he tells us, let us not sleep as do others, but as watch. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Oh, that glorious hope that is within our bosom, that knowledge of this same Jesus which you have seen go into the heavens shall so come in like manner. He's going to return. He's going to come back. Just as they were gazing up into the heavens and watching him as he disappeared there, the clouds covered him. So he will return. So he will come back. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be over one of these days. He's going to come back. He's going to come back for his people. Oh, yes, and wherefore we can comfort one another with those words, with those wonderful words of hope, that glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he's going to come in clouds and every eye is going to see him. Yes, praise the Lord, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our hope. Oh, yes, it's going to bring forth a judgment. But for God's people, oh, yes, that glorious day that we have talked of, that we have prayed for, that we have anticipated, that hope that is deep in our hearts, and we can comfort one another with these words. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you give us that strength. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you give us that, oh, settled word in our heart, oh Lord. No spirit, oh God, could deceive us, Lord. The deception could not overwhelm us or take us over. But, oh God, help us to know you. Help us to know your word. Help us to have it settled in our hearts, oh Lord, that we might be settled and rooted, oh Lord, in thy precious word. Oh God, in thy precious ways. Oh God, pray that you talk to us. Now help us to watch, oh God, and be sober. Oh God, and to wait for you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us to allow no man to take our crown. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, be in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord, and praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing tonight, we're going to go to number 195 in the hymnal, We Shall See the King, number 195. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.